Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1997. Toward a Sane Society.
Hello. I saw Mr. Clinton on television again a couple of days ago, calling for another committee to study the problem of violence in America's schools. Every time we have a disaster, our government calls for another committee to study the problem. The latest disasters, of course, were a couple of mass shootings in our schools, one in Mississippi and one in Kentucky, with a total of 5 students dead. Since all of the students involved were white, Mr. Clinton's committee won't be able to blame the killings on white racism this time. Probably they'll blame the availability of firearms, and they'll call for more metal detectors at the doors of school buildings and more gun control laws. It's interesting that when I was a high school student, no schools had metal detectors at the doors, and there were a lot fewer gun control laws than now. And yet, the students didn't shoot each other, which ought to suggest to the government that the problem of increased violence in the schools arises from some other source. But of course, the government won't take that hint. It would be politically incorrect of the government to examine the breakdown of American society in an honest way and seek honest solutions. With this government, only politically correct explanations of problems are permitted. And the reason for this Alice in Wonderland approach to America's social problems is that the government religion, the TV religion with which all government programs and all government statements must be in accord, is the religion of egalitarianism. According to this government religion, men and women are the same except for minor anatomical differences, and whites and blacks and Asians and Hispanics are the same except for skin color, and homosexuals are the same as normal people except for what they do in their bedrooms. We all have the same abilities and desires and needs. We all should be treated alike and should be able to fill any role in society equally well. We are essentially interchangeable. And the more we demonstrate all of this, the more we interchange roles and behave like each other, men like women and women like men and everybody like blacks, the more smoothly our society will function and the happier everyone will be. And so when a problem arises, the recommended solution usually is to clamp down on white racism or on sexism or on homophobia with new laws and more brainwashing programs, and to increase diversity by bringing in more non-whites. And if that doesn't solve the problem, then try still more diversity. And of course, get rid of the guns so the heretics and misfits don't have a chance to muck things up. And for God's sake, don't look anywhere else for solutions, because you might find a sacrilegious answer, a politically incorrect answer. For example, we would be stepping onto dangerous ground indeed simply to ask whether or not the increased violence in our schools might be related to the increased rates of suicide and drug abuse among young white people, and whether or not all of these things might be related to some of the other things which the government has caused to change in our society, such as the greater diversity, the greater abundance of non-whites in every part of our society. Ooh, that sounds like white racism. We dare not ask such questions. Listen, I'll get right to the point. All of these things are related. School violence and suicides and drug abuse and racial mixing and the general breakdown of our society. And now I'll tell you how they're related. It's really very simple. What we used to have in our schools was a sense of community. That's something every healthy society, every healthy school, every healthy institution, every healthy village and town and city and country must have. A sense of community, of relatedness, of kinship, of belonging, of a shared history and shared traditions and a shared destiny. This sense of community is necessary for a healthy society because it is what is natural for us. Our societies, from the extended family up through the village and the tribe to the nation, evolved over the course of many thousands of years with this sense of community, of kinship. It was necessary to our evolution. It made us what we are. Without a sense of community, our society is unnatural and unhealthy, and every sort of social pathology increases, from random violence and mental illness and homosexuality to drug abuse and suicide. And of course, a sense of community, a sense of kinship, depends on homogeneity in a society. It depends on the members of the society actually feeling that they belong to the same family. That's the way we evolved. A family or a small group of families, usually related to one another, would settle a piece of land and a village would grow up. Nearby villages would consist of similar groups of families. Eventually, towns and cities might develop, but they would be part of the same nation. The original sense of the word nation, the sense in which our ancestors understood it, was a group of people related by birth, by blood. Now that's terribly unfashionable these days, but that's the way it used to be in more natural times. We had a sense of community. It was strongest in our villages, but it existed even in our cities and even at the national level. We were all related. We all shared the same history, the same traditions, the same blood. And we also had a common destiny. We didn't pretend to be equal any more than parents and children are equal in a normal family. We didn't pretend to be identical or interchangeable any more than men and women are identical or interchangeable in a normal society. But we were all part of the same family. We had a sense of community, of kinship. And so, even when there were stresses in a family or between the families in a village or between villages, the sense of large-scale community helped to hold things together, helped us minimize pathologies. Not always, of course, but to a much greater degree than today when there is much less sense of community. Even in healthier times, we still have violence and suicides and mental illness and drug abuse, just much less than today. So that 50 years ago, one never had kids coming to school and blowing away half their classmates. And as I said, this sense of community we had in healthier times was based on our homogeneity, on our relatedness. What has destroyed our relatedness has been the government's program of increasing diversity, the government's program of multiculturalism, of forced racial mixing. That's why no committee that Mr. Clinton appoints to study the problem of school violence will find the real answers. The real answers are in fundamental conflict with the government religion of egalitarianism. And so the problem will only become worse. You know, one of the worst manifestations of our present sickness is to be seen in the people who promote the religion of egalitarianism with a fanaticism which grows as the damage done by this religion becomes more evident. In their sick way, they recognize that the growth in violence and other social pathologies stems from the loss of our sense of community. And so they try to build an artificial sense of community which is in accord with their egalitarianism at the same time that they reject the natural sense of community with which we evolved. You hear them saying silly, trendy things like, race is only skin deep, and the only race I belong to is the human race. And they pretend that they can build a healthy community on such a feeling. Well, we can see the results of such attempts all around us. They believe that a homosexual family is just as healthy and normal as a family based on a heterosexual relationship between a man and a woman. They believe that an army in which men and women are treated the same and share all functions is a better and stronger army than an all-male army. They believe that one can ignore the natural meaning of a nation and redefine it in a strictly geographical way. They pretend that patriotism can exist without a feeling of national relatedness. They believe that a country consisting of equal portions of yellow and black and brown and white people can be as much a nation with the same sort of national spirit as an all-white country. And, as I said, we can see the consequences of such pretenses, of such ignoring of nature and of reality all around us. And as I also said, there is nothing the government can do about this lunacy because the government is its principal promoter. We see growing racial conflict and growing racial hatred resulting from the government's policies of racial egalitarianism over the past 50 years. And Mr. Clinton runs around the country proposing more forced togetherness and more government-sponsored diversity as a solution. These are crazy times in which we are living. The fabric of our society is coming unraveled. The craziness subjects people to a lot of psychological stress, and people react to it in various destructive ways. Some lash out at it by building bombs and blowing things up. Others shoot their classmates. Some become alcoholics or commit suicide. And some rave about the need for more equality and more diversity and proclaim their loyalty to the human race while doing everything they can to destroy the white race. We're seeing a lot more of all of these things than we used to. Now I'll tell you what we need to do about this craziness. We need to begin working toward making our society sane again someday. That means making our society natural again. That means giving our society again the essential features it had during the hundreds of thousands of years of our evolution, which made us what we are. Essential features such as racial homogeneity, so that we can again have a sense of community, of relatedness. Even in a natural, sane, homogeneous society, there will still be some stress, some unhappiness, some violence. That's life. But there will be a lot less stress and violence than we have now. Our young people will not feel so alienated as they feel in this artificial, unnatural, multiracial society the government has created for its own purposes. Our young people will once again be able to see some hope for the future. They will once again begin to feel themselves a part of the society around them, and they will be less likely to act destructively toward themselves or their society. When you cut a young person loose from his roots and prevent him from having a vision of the future, when you take away his sense of community and leave him morally adrift, you will get unpredictable results, even from young people who may seem on the surface to be bright and well-behaved. When you put people in an unnatural environment, you can expect to get some unnatural behavior, some bad behavior. We need a sane, natural white society again. The government will try to prevent us from having such a society. The egalitarian zealots, the believers in the TV religion of equality, also will try to prevent our society from becoming sane again. Those who have a vested interest in the craziness in today's society will try to keep things going in the same direction they're going now. They will try to prevent a return to sanity. So there will be a war to determine whether our society becomes sane again or keeps getting crazier. The war already has started. And it's a messy sort of war because at the same time, those of us who want a sane society are fighting against those who want more diversity and more multiculturalism and more craziness. The society is fighting against itself. It is destroying itself. Even if we did nothing but stand back and watch, the craziness would continue taking its toll. The stress would continue building. The alienation would continue growing. Fewer and fewer of our kids would have any hope for their future in a society with less and less community spirit, a society of which they no longer feel a part. But we're not going to stand back and just watch this happen. We will be doing whatever we can to stop the craziness and begin returning to sanity. And you know, messy though this struggle may be, it's not complicated. It's pretty easy to understand. Up until the middle of this century, up until just before the Second World War, say, we had a white country, a white society. Everyone recognized that and accepted that. We had a sense of community, of belonging. We had a reasonable degree of order and discipline in our society, even though we had a lot fewer laws, a lot fewer taxes, and a lot less governmental intrusion into our lives. Young people felt a sense of belonging and had hope for the future. Their lives made sense to them. There weren't any drugs in the schools, none, and there was very little school violence other than an occasional fist fight. No one got raped in the restrooms. I mean, it just didn't happen. Pregnancy among unwed teenagers was a tiny fraction of what it is today. Teachers didn't have to worry about their own safety, about being assaulted in the classrooms or the hallways. For the last 50 years or so, however, ever since the Second World War, American society has been coming apart. The nutcase egalitarians and the government, led and inspired by the people who own the mass media, have been working to destroy our society. And they have enlisted the help of every group with a grievance against society to help them. The feminists, the homosexuals, the non-whites. They overturned our laws against non-white immigration and our laws against miscegenation. Multiculturalism and racial integration became their battering rams against white society. They even promoted drug use among young whites. Yes, back during the 1960s, the mass media glamorized the use of drugs. It was the way to rebel against your parents, they implied. They've backed off a bit from that now, but during the 1960s, the controlled media promoted drugs along with racial mixing and rebellion, and things began coming apart. All of these destructive things were pushed right after the Second World War because the war had been a great victory for the destroyers, for the promoters of liberalism and egalitarianism and racial mixing. The New World Order people had worked very hard to get us into the war, and after their victory and the murder of millions of their enemies in Europe, that is, after the murder of millions of our people, they felt that there was nothing to hold them back. And so after the war, the craziness grew, and it's still growing, still killing our people. And we've got people like Bill Clinton pushing for even more craziness under the pretense of reducing violence. You know what the latest thing that sinister idiot in the White House is doing? He's got his Equal Employment Opportunity Commission hiring spies to apply for employment all over the country and report any discrimination they encounter so the employer can be prosecuted. They send out obvious, prancing, lisping homosexuals and blacks with chips on their shoulders and butch feminists and Hispanics who can hardly speak English, and they dare an employer not to hire them. They call these spies testers, and Mr. Clinton's government has just hired a bunch of them. That's what he means when he talks about pulling America together in his current campaign against white separateness. That's a campaign which he claims will reduce hatred and make Americans feel better about racial mixing. Actually, what he's doing will increase suspicion and alienation and hatred of the government, and it almost guarantees that somebody else will react by blowing something up or shooting a bunch of people. It's our responsibility, ultimately, to stop the craziness. It's our responsibility now to stand up against the government and the egalitarian zealots and the non-white minorities, and especially against the people who control the mass media and have been orchestrating the craziness. It's our responsibility to help other sane people understand what's going on and who's behind it. That's the first step in trying to rebuild a sane society, building understanding. And then we'll organize the sane people against the sinister idiots and the other crazies. And we'll fight them however we can. It's time to focus some of this rage that's building in the white population. It's time to turn some of the random, senseless violence into meaningful action. If you're sane, you should be helping. Why don't you write to me about it? Thanks for being with me again today.